Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes, better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
Five star. It's the
job. Oh. Welcome back to the Crab Feast, y'all. Another Tuesday.
On the Crab Feast for that ass. I was worried about you over there for a second.
If you were, imagine being 12 years old, going back, and your teacher being like, what are you going to do when you're old? And you're like, I'm going to have like a radio show that, you know, an internet radio show. And like, how would you open it? I'm like, well, me and my buddy, you're going to try and touch each other's pictures.
We're going to accidentally do that and then be stuck with it forever.
I mean, how stupid are we? We're the stupidest. It's so stupid.
Oh, it's good to be here, Jay Larson.
Good to be here with you. Good to be here with everyone out there in Feaster Nation. You're like my proud little children. I'm so proud of you guys. And honestly, I love being a part of Feaster Nation.
You know what I mean?
As a fan and as a part of the podcast.
Well, we're glad to have you.
Thank you, sir. Tomorrow night, I'll be at Comedy Juice in L.A., and then coming up down the road, May 21st, I'll be in Nashville at Zany's with the LOL TBD show with Nate Bargatze, Roy Scovel, and Nick Thune. And then coming up, right around the corner from there, the first week in June, Bridgetown Comedy Festival.
Very excited to be
Crab
back Feast at Bridgetown.
Will be back. It'll be our third year in a row there doing a live podcast. Guests will be announced, and time and date will be announced, but we will be there, and we're excited. If you're in the region, it's an awesome, awesome comedy festival.
It's absolutely one of the best comedy festivals in the country. No doubt about it.
Love to see you there. Sickle.
Ryan Sickler on Twitter and Instagram. Ryan Sickler Official on Facebook. RyanSickler.com. I want to thank everyone. We want to thank everyone who came out to the live podcast, The Hollywood Improv. Thank you for the support. It's a monthly thing we're doing. We love seeing you out there. Thanks for coming out and filling the room up and laughing and having a good time with us. Also, on April 5th, we have a Crab Feast stand-up show at the Comedy Store, 8 p.m. And tickets for all these shows are on RyanSickler.com and TheCrabFeast.com, where you can support us by buying your merch and wearing it to shows like you do. The Amazon link is a huge, huge help, and thank you for all of you who do that. The new premium app with Pete Holmes and Baron Vaughn live from Riot LA is kicking ass. Thank you all for your support on that as well. It is available on iTunes and Apple Music. Available on Google Play if you're an Android user. Also on the Amazon Music Store. And if you just want the MP3, you can load it on your device the way you like. You can get a direct download at gumroad.com/thecrabfeast. And links to all the premium apps are on thecrabfeast.com. They're very easy to find. And thank you for the love and the support on the Facebook fan page and, as always, on the iTunes page.
Yeah, any way you help out, we appreciate it. And we appreciate you. We also appreciate this week's sponsor. You know, it's just great. You know, Ryan and I are very selective about who we get sponsorships with. And these guys have been amazing. And everyone has been talking about it. That's just from what we've been putting out there. Omaha Steaks. We talk about it because we got them and we eat them and we love it. And then,
but also, so many of you out there know of them and you've had them and what deal you're getting. You know you're getting a deal when you hear this and you see what you get. You're like,
yeah,
whoa.
And it's ridiculous. Yeah, and it's because they, you know,
they're great.
That they're able to do this is amazing. High quality, one of a kind flavor. Everything from seafood, veggies, bison. I mean, anything, whatever your diet is, Omaha Steaks can give it to you. This is an insane deal. What they're offering right now is 76% off this package. Filet mignon, top sirloin, boneless pork chops, chicken fried steaks, meatballs, jumbo franks, potatoes au gratin, from scratch caramel apple tartlets, which are LT's jam. I think I've said it before. And premium ground beef burgers. All this stuff
it's crazy.
Just pop in the freezer, pull it out the night before, and boom, it's ready to go the next day. For $49.99, you get all of this, which equates to about 20 meals for $50. That's just, you don't get that anywhere. That's a ridiculous deal. Right now, if you go to omahasteaks.com, type in Crab Feast in the search bar. Up top in the search bar, press return to get this great deal. omahasteaks.com, enter Crab Feast in the search bar, get this great deal. $49.99, 76% off. We're proud of it.
Very proud. I'm so glad to have them on board. Also glad to have SeatGeek back. If you've ever been frustrated trying to buy tickets online because most sites make it complicated and they try to sneak in these huge fees at checkout, SeatGeek doesn't pull any of that stuff. That's why you need to try SeatGeek. They've made it even easier than ever to buy and sell sports and concert tickets. SeatGeek's the only place I ever go to look for tickets to a game or concert. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and I just used it the other day, actually, to look at Orioles-Dodger tickets. They're coming out again for, like, the second time in almost 20 years. And I talked to Jay Larson over here about taking our kids out. A little Crab Feast night. Take our son and daughter out to watch the Dodgers and the Orioles play out there in Dodger Stadium. SeatGeek has taken all the work and hassle out of shopping for tickets. They pull all the tickets available on other sites into one place, so you save time and never miss a deal. You can even set alerts for upcoming events, and SeatGeek will let you know if ticket prices fall. Even better, every ticket on SeatGeek is ranked based on value, so you can immediately find underpriced seats. And before you buy, you can use SeatGeek's detailed maps to see the view from your seat. I always look for those interactive maps because you can actually see what you're really seeing. Best of all, SeatGeek is always honest and upfront about the price. Unlike StubHub, they show you the full ticket price from start to finish and never try to trick you with huge fees on the checkout page. Our listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the free SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click add a promo code and enter promo code CRAB. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app and enter promo code CRAB today.
This is a pretty special episode.
For a couple of reasons.
One, it's our 200th episode.
Very excited to have done 200 episodes.
I mean, it's almost 4 years, Blair.
That doesn't even include the live. So this is 200 episodes, which is, yeah, it's fantastic.
I mean, that's a milestone, man, for the two of us. I mean, whew.
I've enjoyed my time with you, Jason Larson, and my time with all of you out there.
I've definitely enjoyed my time with Feaster Nation.
I knew that
Some ups and downs with me and you, Sickle, but we get through it. We get through it like a brother to me, son. And it's also a special episode because of our guest.
Yeah.
I think you know a little more about it than I do. You've talked with him a little more. I mean,
Our guest today has been diagnosed with mesothelioma, and he's been given his initial diagnosis was given a year to live.
Yeah.
And hopefully those things are changing along with medicine. He's undergoing treatment as well as looking into any and everything he can do to extend that. And he's out there getting ready for a special that he's doing, and we thought it would be a special opportunity to have him come on, get to know a little bit about him, what he's going through, and tell some stories and share some stories with us. So yeah, we're very excited to have him here.
We're excited to have him here. We're excited he got it. You know what I mean? That way we got him on here.
Jesus.
You know I'm kidding. He knows it too. We're excited. Please welcome to the Crab Feast the first time, Mr. Quincy Jones.
Quincy
welcome
Jones.
Welcome to the Crab Feast, Quincy Jones.
All right. Thank you. Feels great to be here.
It's so good to have you here, Quincy Jones.
It's about time.
It is about time.
Yeah.
You know what I remember? Remember that show you were doing that was like a storefront? Where the hell was that? You guys ordered a pizza?
Echo Park? Echoes Under Sunset.
No, it wasn't Echoes Under Sunset.
Was it that?
No, remember there was like a little storefront that some kid owned and he turned it into like, he lived there in the back.
Oh, yeah. They called that Dangerfields 3.
Yeah, exactly. They did.
That's great.
They had a sign out, like a sandwich board on the side.
Yeah, Dangerfields 3. That's right around the corner from where I live now, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what I always associate you with.
You know, fuck you.
I mean, no, because I remember being
that's
like
a shitty thing to be associated
well,
with.
Well, actually, that's impressive that he remember meeting you like that.
I mean, I'm distinctive.
No, I'm
defiant. I'm distinctive.
You know where I met? I remember meeting you the first time was we were
at
back
that shittiest
at the Grammys backstage with Jeffrey Osborne.
Without a doubt.
Quincy Jones.
Play. Yep. Y'all weren't there. Y'all don't remember that?
That's where I met him.
I'm telling you. Thank you so much for being here. This is a special time, I guess. And why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on social media? Just plug Quincy Jones away, please.
Yo, LLQJ206 on Twitter and the gram. and I don't have Snapchat.
Does someone else have Quincy Jones?
Yeah. Yeah, niggas are stealing my swag left and right. They've been biting for a minute now, but I let it slide. I'm a nice dude. Yeah. I'm hot right now. So,
oh, you're on fire.
You're I'm on fire right now.
Can't even put that out.
Nah, I can't even say it's not straight face. That's how hot I am right now. I'm cheesing as I say I'm on fire. No, find me on LLQJ206 on the gram and Twitter and Facebook.com/QJonesTheComedian.
Love it.
Yeah. Simple shit.
You should have been a rapper.
I used to rap.
Did you? I mean, dude, who says the gram?
Yeah,
dude,
I heard that too.
Sounds tight,
yeah,
and I want to like knock it, but I'm like, I love
other
that.
Other people go IG. I see that a lot on IG.
Nah, it's all about the gram.
Or Insta.
My girls be taking sultry pics for the gram, like that. Like, it's easy, right?
Yeah, man. Check me out on the gram.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, that's it. I don't. Do you guys do Snapchat?
No.
Nah, man.
Yeah, I'm Vine? You guys on Vine?
No.
I'm on it. I don't do it.
Red Vine.
Because we're grown men.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're grown men. We have families.
Wait, when were you rapping?
When?
Yeah.
See, here's the phases of my life, the chapters, the major segment. I used to do spoken word poetry.
Yeah, you did.
Right. Word. I did that. And then I rapped,
hooped, about?
Hustled.
Hooped?
Play ball.
Okay.
These are things like I just
fuck. Do you think?
Yeah, what'd you
think? Was a well, whole
we talked a little off mic, and I want to know how the extent of his hooping.
This is what's amazing is you talk to people off mic for 10 minutes. As soon as you start talking, he's like, "I've shot 62 people. It was justifiable.
Played overseas in Europe.
I hooped. Like, I mean, I went to school. Like, Seattle. Like, is a hotbed of hoop stars. Brandon Roy, Nate Robinson." All these people. Like,
dude, Nate, he was a Celtic for a while.
Was he?
Yeah, man. Are you kidding me? Nate Robinson? He was he was a firecracker.
Isaiah Thomas for the Celtics right now. He's from town, too.
Is he? Yeah.
He's awesome. Terrence Ross for Houston Rockets. Like, we put out ball players.
Yeah. Well, why don't we do this real quick? Why don't you promote what's going on right now? And then we're going to go through those chapters of your life.
Right now, I have a GoFundMe that you could donate to called Kwame Don't Play That. I'm fighting mesothelioma. I have stage 4 peritoneal mesothelioma, a really rare form of cancer. Like a really, really rare
stage
form.
Stage 4 is pretty, I mean, that's a big stage.
Yeah, it's a big stage.
How many stages they go to?
Just that's it.
That's it!
Oh.
That's it!
That's it.
You sure? If I was in the doctor's office, I'm like, you sure it's not a 5? No. No 5.
Well, here's the thing. What they it sounds.
How
bad.
Did you get it?
I don't know. And that's why I hired lawyers to try and figure out, like, investigate all the addresses where I'm from and everything.
What do you mean?
Well, I'll tell you what I mean. I don't want to say this, but I'm going to say this. A really good friend of mine's dad passed from, how do you say, mesothelioma?
Yeah, mesothelioma.
And the way he got it was his father worked in asbestos. And when he would come home and sit on the furniture and stuff, microscopic bits over the years get on it. And the kids are playing, they breathe it in, and then it takes years, but it eventually gets you and catches up with you. That's why I didn't know did anyone in your family work around asbestos? You know, or
my pops wasn't around, but I asked my mom what, you know, just now, like within the past week, I was like, what did the old man do? He actually worked at Boeing. You know what I'm saying? So maybe.
And she's like, your mattress is made out of asbestos. She's like, that might have been something.
You're laying on
listen, for 6 years you had an asbestous hoodie. Remember that sweater your nana made?
Yeah, that was asbestos.
Asbestos, the North.
So wait a minute. This is a type of cancer that you, because I always think of cancer as something that, like, you just, it just turns up in your body unless you got, like, sun cancer or, you know, something like radiation.
What? Sun cancer.
Don't people get from too much sun? Skin cancer.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
I got melanin. I wouldn't know what skin cancer. But no, I mean.
Made me dizzy.
It takes 20 to 50 years for it to pop up. That's the latency period, 20 to 50 years.
And you're how old now?
I'm 31.
How did you find out?
Like, my belly was getting, like, full. Like, on December 30th of 2014, my belly was full. Like, it felt like I was, like, 3 months pregnant. It was rock hard, too. And so I was like, damn, like, what the fuck? So I went to the ER.
I haven't been doing any ab workouts.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not pregnant. How does this work? So I went to the ER, and they were like, yo, you got ascites. And I was like, where's that come from? You're like, cirrhosis of the liver or kidney failure. I was like, damn, do I got to stop drinking? And they're like, well, no, you don't. Both of those are fine. I was like, so I can keep drinking. Like, I'm good. But no, that's,
Like, because I'm drunk right now.
Drunk concern.
Like, that, for real, I was like, yo, I really, like, you don't think you have a problem until they're like, cut it cold turkey. And yeah, then yeah. Like, nah.
Like, I've been drinking this asbestos cocktail. I don't know if that's.
So, wait, that's what they told you. That's what they told you had it first.
No, that's what they say. That's what they said. I didn't find out for the first 6 months of 2015. I just kept getting my belly drained. They were getting like 4 to 7 liters off each time.
Jeez.
Just getting drained. And they would keep testing the fluid, testing the kidney, testing the liver. They're like, still good. They like would numb it with like some numbing thing.
Yeah.
And then they would like make a little slit and then they would like stick a catheter in there and then like drain it into the thing.
And you had to do that monthly?
Sometimes even 2 times a month, man. But every time the fluid kept coming back. So June 15th, we did a biopsy. They were like, yo, dog, we can't keep doing this. We gotta take it next
step. Dude, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm no medical expert, but if my doctor was saying, yo, dog, I'd look for a different doctor. I'd be like, man, come on, be professional.
Nah, man.
They were straight up?
In the hood, they keep it real. You know what I mean?
And that hood doctor, man.
Yo, them hood doctors. You just picture a little... black kid who got caught trying to be a doctor.
Totally.
I see him with cornrows.
Yo, dog.
I'm not judging.
Hey, listen, fam. I don't know how to tell you this, but it's just not looking good, baby. It's just not looking good for you, dog. We got to tighten up, man.
Come on. You got to quit drinking, player. Not everything.
I mean, you got to indulge a little bit, right?
Come on.
Okay, so obviously they finally say, look, we can't do the keep draining your stomach monthly here.
Right.
Sometimes multiple times a month. So then they do a biopsy.
They do a biopsy. And then, like, I go on tour. It was June 15th. That was a Monday. I get out the hospital Wednesday. I mean, but keep in mind, like, they fucked. Every time I went underneath the needle, they fucked up, like gravely. Like, they said they were going to just, here's what they said for the biopsy. They're like, we're going to make 3 small incisions in your stomach, puff you up with some air, take a sample of your stomach lining, close you up, stitch up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. Like, sure. Hey, to get some answers, do that. So I sign up, you know, hey, boom, give up everything. Okay, cool. I wake up in excruciating pain, dog. I was like, yo, what the fuck happened? They're like, yo, we took out your appendix.
And, what? Was that what?
They took out my appendix and like a wall of tissue. They showed me like this big and like a little vial. And I was just like, dog, can you guys, is that legal?
Yeah, right.
Like, can you get a snack?
Why am I in a bathtub of ice? Why am I in a bathtub?
That doctor was like, shit.
I remember waking up, dog. I was like, oh, take it man, out. I'm in pain. I'm like, what happened? And my girl at the time was like, oh, yeah, they took out your appendix. I was like, what the fuck do you mean they took out my... I didn't sign up for that. Like, we could sue them. But no, in the paperwork that you signed, it says we could do whatever the fuck we want.
You can. Like, we took a kidney, too.
Yeah, pretty much. So then I went on tour to the East Coast. I went to your city, went to Beantown.
Nice.
And I started a tour. I took a red eye Saturday night from here, got there Sunday morning.
Where was the show?
The studio. I did a comedy studio and did it like all over there. And did it at the Paragon.
Yeah.
It's right there.
I haven't done it, but right there near comedy.
Yeah, Harvard. Yeah, right around the corner. So I did there. I was doing tour. And my boy, Tawanda, he was showing me love. That's what I was staying with. But
he's
Monday
showing you
morning.
Some love right now. Tawanda, get your ass in here, Tawanda.
For a second, I thought he was going to bust through the door.
Yeah, man.
I can't believe it's a he.
He didn't get back to us, man.
For a second, I thought he was going to. I was like, Nick, oh, man.
We tried together. We tried. He didn't call back.
But yeah, so then I did that shit, and I went to the ER there, and they tried to drain my stomach, right? Mm-hmm. And then they, like, it came out, like, red, like, bloody fluid. And I was like, you guys messed up. I've been doing this now for 6 months, and, like, I know what the fluid's supposed to look like. You guys ruptured something. And so they're like, you're right. And they, like, pulled out, you know what I'm saying? And they stitched, you know, whatever.
So they took out a liver.
They took out.
Yeah, what'd they take?
So they took out a lung. Long story short, I go to Boston, New York, and Jersey, and I go to ERs in each of those.
Jeez.
And then in Jersey, on July 3rd, they get the results back from the biopsy on June 15th, and they're like, yo, it's cancer.
Oh.
And I was like, what? I'm like, what type of cancer? Like, peritoneum. I was like, I never worked in a break shop. I never did manual labor. What are you talking about? They're like, yo, I was like, so what do I do now? They're like, you go home. And I was like, okay. So I went home.
On the 4th of July?
No, and I told them I needed a day. I was like, let me chill for a day. I'll get out July 4th. They're like, take as much time as you want. I was like, no, you guys charge. So I'm going to take a day. I'm going to get out.
Bed's not free.
So I flew out July 5th. I came back home, and that's when I realized how fucked up the healthcare system is. I like Googled what a cancer doctor's call. It was called an oncologist. And I called one and was like, yo, I need to see you. I got cancer.
They just told you to go home.
Yeah. And so I was like, I figure I got to call somebody, right?
Yeah.
So I called them up, and they're like, and the lady's like, do you have an HMO or PPO? I was like, I got Medi-Cal. They're like, no, sir, do you have an HMO or PPO? I was like, lady, I've never heard these words in my life. I don't even know what you're saying. She's like, well, HMO is preferred. I was like, yeah, I got the cheap one, whatever the one that like says I can't go to all of them. She's like, yeah, okay, you got Medi-Cal. Okay, so what you need to do is go to a doctor
to get a referral.
Yeah.
So even though I knew I had cancer, I had to go to another doctor to hear I had cancer to go get our. Then I go to the doctor. They're like, hey, we got the results. It's cancer. I was like, I know it's cancer. What do we do? They're like,
first of all, that could be a lot of fun, though, because you already know it. So he's going to come in and be like, listen, I don't know how to tell you, like, cancer. And he's like, how'd you know? Because, you know, they probably kind of like, as much as they don't want to have to tell people they have cancer, it's probably a little power trip where they're like, I'm going to tell this dude right now he's got cancer.
Well, what I thought is I would start getting treatment or see an oncologist then, right?
Yeah.
So they're like, yo, it's about a 6 week wait to see an oncologist. And
it,
I was like,
it always amazes me. I had
sounds like an off call.
No. It's always amazing to me. Two friends of ours, fathers right now have cancer. And that was like, yeah, you go home and your surgery's in 5 weeks. And it's like 5 more weeks this thing gets to, you know, have its way with me before I even get in there to attack it.
They'd be expecting me to chill. I was like, nah, dog. Like, I can't just chill. You can't tell
the anxiety
someone, like,
alone.
You can't be like, yo, you got cancer. But sit tight for 6 weeks and we'll see you when we get a chance. It's like, nah. So I went to the ER. I was like, yo, I walked in there. I was like, yo, I got ascites. I have cancer and I haven't had treatment and I need to get treatment. So then they admitted me and I was there in the hospital for 45 days last year.
Holy shit.
Yeah. That include those ER stops on the East Coast?
Nah. Nah, whole new leg of the tour.
Doing hospital tours.
Yo, it's real talk. That's what it should have been called. But yes,
you know what's crazy?
Man.
I was in L.A. County.
I had a tooth infection. They took it out 3 days later. This guy's got cancer. And they're like, yeah, we'll catch you in 6 weeks, man.
No.
But for 45 days, they are administering medicine, whatever. Are they chemo? What are they doing to you?
Nah, dog. No. You're thinking sensibly. This is LA County, bro.
I've had quite the fucking year with these Los Angeles hospitals.
Dog,
except for the birth of my daughter. Everything else has sucked. I have no problem saying that.
They waited so long the cancer spread to my lung.
No way.
Dead serious.
What are they doing? They're just housing you for 45 days?
Basically, they were just pumping me full of Dilaudid, which is great. It's a great pain med, but it ends up constipating you. You don't shit for weeks.
Jeez.
So it's like, you're riding high. You're riding high every 3 hours. You're getting like 4 milligrams in your fucking vein. And you're just like sleeping, coming to, whatever. I didn't get treatment. I went in the hospital like July 8th. I didn't get my first dose of treatment of chemo till August 8th.
And the only reason you went in July 8th is because you walked into an emergency room and said, I have this. I haven't gotten the treatment. But if you'd have followed the system, it'd have been, what, 6 more weeks before you even got to the first point?
I probably wouldn't have made it, man, to be
honest. That's what I'm saying.
I was down to 145 when I went in.
God.
Damn. You telling me all I need to do is grab some cancer and I can drop down to 190?
You got to leave the wife and the kids, too.
Oh, shit.
Or she got to leave you.
That might not be far off.
Well,
dude, what a journey.
Yeah, I mean, we're speaking.
Hold on
a
second. Can I talk? I just want to know, like, so where was it? It was in your stomach.
It was in my stomach.
And it spread up to your lungs?
Well, see, the thing about my cancer is it's not a traditional form. It doesn't lump up like a clump of cancer cells.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the lining. So it just blocks vessels.
Mm-hmm.
And the fluid has to go somewhere. So in mine, it backed up in the belly. Mesothelioma, it's like an umbrella. So there's like mesothelioma. And then there's three types. The stomach, the heart, the lung. The heart's the most rare. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously probably the most deadly because if it blocks the vessel of the heart, you're done. The lung's the most common. You know, that's also where it blocks and you get fluid.
Because you're breathing it in.
Right. And then the stomach lining, for me, it was just, I don't know. It just got there. So,
so at this point, you also can't trace it back to something in your life of where you got, because obviously you got, this is a cancer you get from something. This isn't a, like you were saying, Jay,
it's not
cancer
like smoking
that
or drink,
lives inside you.
I'm
going to
be honest. Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. I never even knew that could happen. You know what I mean?
And I see the commercials all the time. So but the only reason I know specifically what this is because my a good friend of mine's father had it. Yeah, that's why.
It's a crazy one because like one, like dude, man, I wish I could go into detail about how fucked up that those 45 days were. Like it was really fucked up. But to the point where like, first of all, it's like a it's a training school for doctors, right? So you get the medical school students,
right?
Yep. These motherfuckers are just eager. Right? Yeah. They have no bedside manner. They have no common sense. Like, dude woke me up to tell me that the cancer spread, like, shit you not.
Just tapping you on the leg?
Tap me in the foot.
No like bedside that. Etiquette at all.
So that was the
bedside manner.
Dude told me, here's the thing. They did a surgery because the fluid had backed up, right? And so it was so much fluid, it moves the things around, moves every, like the body parts around.
Mm-hmm.
So it moved everything. It's pressing up against my lung and everything like that, right? They're like, oh, we should get a sample of his lung lining to see if it spread. Like, I'm like, okay, cool. What are you guys going to do? Like, we're just going to take a sample of your lung line. I go underneath the needle. I come out. A fucking breathing tube is in my lung, dog. God, like, they fucking put a 3-foot long tube to like a little box is in my lung. I was like, what is this? Like, dog, like, what is this? And they were like, well, you know, there's fluid there. I was like, that's not fluid in the lung, though. That's fluid surrounding the lung from the ascites that's built up, you know, going like that. Another thing was happening.
So
was
what happened, though? They cut the hole and the fluid leaked in. And these.
I
love that they were just, like, hanging out, like, almost like a bunch of amateurs, like, something's wrong with your roof. And you're like, you know what we should try?
That's right.
Let's rip up that plywood and let's see if that fixed the leak.
That's right.
That's what it sounds like they did. They're like,
our Eric Harbin, our old producer, his father was diagnosed with, I think it was a tumor or something. And this one particular doctor only gave him a very short amount of time to live. I believe it was less than a year. And so they went to start getting, you know, more and more opinions. And what they found out was that, you know, some of these doctors love to make a case. They need somebody. It helps them elevate, you know, to get, or maybe that, but helps them get, you know, work their way up the ladder. And, you know, and like you said, it hasn't been great.
Dude told me a year, and I was like,
You've been given a year to live.
I was like,
so a human being, that guy that shook your foot said that?
Yeah. Dude, I played on my phone.
Hold on a second.
I played a fucking conversation. I woke up from a dilated sleep and had
by having your foot shaken. And then, he told me
that they came in like six strong. There was the dude, Byron Jennings. There was a little
Byron Asian, Allen was there.
then a little Asian girl who was training underneath Byron Jennings. And then the lung people, the thoracic surgeons, they were there. And they were all telling. But the thoracic surgeons were more on my side. Long story short, dude told me a year. And the way he told me, I was like, nah, that's not what's going to happen. I don't think that's not good.
And when did they tell you this?
They told me that August 6th. August 6th.
Of 2015.
They told me that. But here's the thing. I said, cite your source, man. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, in order to quote me something, you had to have had some study that you're going off of, right? So tell me what study that you're citing.
What do you see that's giving me a
like,
year?
Yeah, what right, did you sure. say? He's like, I'll come back in the morning. I was like, okay, yeah. So I'm on the phone. I get on my little tablet. I'm like searching everything. I found the study, he says. And the average age was people who are 65 to 75 years old who've been smoking and drinking and been exposed to asbestos immediately. So they were, so I was like, if a 65-year-old fall down and break their hip, I fall down and break my hip, I got a better chance of recovery.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, yeah, I'll do the chemo. Right? Dude didn't tell me anything about what chemo was like. Didn't tell me any of the side effects. Nothing. I walked in, you could throw a brick in my face right now, and I have more time to prepare for what's happening than what he did.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I was
first of like, all, how can you come in and tell someone you got a year to live and not have the material to back it up at that moment? What a bitch.
Yeah.
I would have been like, you're a little bitch. Go get your facts and then come back. And then I would have like thrown poop at him or something.
Dude, I threatened so many of those doctors. Like I fired one. I was like, yo, don't come back in here. Because I remember like my back had been killing me. And I think it ended up being a bed sore because I've been in the bed for so long. Oh, right? Even though I got up every day.
45 days.
But even though I got up every day, it was still, I was, So I was like, all right. But I thought it was like a slip disc or something like that. So I was like, I asked for x-ray. They gave me the x-ray. Finally, I said, hey, man, I'd like to see the results of the x-ray. He says, why? I said, because I want to see the results of the x-ray.
Yeah.
What happened? He's like, oh, well, it wasn't a slip disc. It was, you know, I was like, yeah, that's cool, but I want to see the results of the x-ray. He's like, well, I'd have to go upstairs and bring down a machine and show you the results of the x-ray.
What?
I was like, I don't give a fuck. If you have to construct it, bring me down the fucking results
sketch
of the x-ray.
Sketch it, man. I don't care.
So dude's like, I understand you're getting mad. I was like, no, you haven't seen me get mad yet. You need to bring down the x-ray. So then, so we got into it, and then dude left. Dude just walked out, just like, passive-aggressively stormed out the and my homegirl was sitting there, and she's like, did he just leave? I was like, that nigga just left. That nigga just left me.
He was a black guy?
No, but I say nigga like a pronoun. I don't
know,
say it like
I
an
know,
adjective.
I'm teasing.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, wish I could. So he comes back. he got a southern accent, so he can't say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I can't.
So he comes back. So I think he went upstairs to where, like, they you know, they fucking congregate. And he's like, yeah, I just left. Has left, you know, fucking Jones's room, and they're like, why? And they're like, he told me to get his results. I told him no. Da da da. They're like, you can't just leave a patient. So he came back.
So these
down.
Guys are all, they're all rookies,
down.
Huh?
So they're all rookies. Oh. So he came back down. He's like, I just want to apologize. I was like, yo, get the fuck out, man. Yep. If you come in again, I'll slam your head in between the fucking door handles. Like, don't. Get the fuck out, man. Bring your boss, bring whoever's up above you. I don't want to see you again. Don't come in here ever again for anything. And he's also told me the reason why I hated him so much was because when we were waiting to see if the cancer had spread, he came in and told me on Friday afternoon, Andy Haynes was in there, Nate Craig was there. He said, the cancer spread to your lung. Here's the thing. All the results weren't back in. So he told me that on Friday. We didn't find out till another week later. They're like, he read you the wrong results.
Oh. So it hadn't spread.
It hadn't spread at the time. You just going, you just making shit up.
And all Jeez. These tubes and stuff going in you then mean unnecessary.
Look, but hold on a second.
Man. You can see the motherfucker right there.
Can we give the guy a little credit? He predicted the future.
What?
It did spread. Didn't you say it spread?
He manifested negativity, man.
He sure did, motherfucker. But hey, whether he manifested or not, he was right.
Well,
I'm just teasing. Look at
just slap the shit out of Jamie.
No one's ever punched him in the face before.
I'll take one for your cancer.
That's a team player, man. That's my dog right there. Jay's a team player, guys. Don't be fooled.
All right, so let's talk about how we got to here.
Yeah, let's talk about these chapters in your life that lead us up to here, because that is it's important. It's important.
Start with the preface, man.
Yeah, man. Preface.
Preface.
The preface. That's
right. Preface it. So you're originally from, you said, Seattle,
from
right?
From the town, baby, 206, Seattle,
the
Washington.
The town. He lights up. What do you mean, the town?
The town.
That what you guys
do you know
it?
Like what Ben Affleck made for your city? It should have been in Seattle, the town.
Oh, yeah?
Not Charleston. No.
I like Seattle.
Seattle's great.
I love Seattle.
It's
I
amazing.
Love Seattle.
Yeah.
I've been
it's
there.
A Rip Van Winkle city, though.
What's
like,
that mean?
Like, you'll go there. Like, let's say you and your wife, like, let's get out of L.A. Let's move to Seattle. You move there, like, with the goal of 2 to 3 years tops. You blink your eyes. That'd be five.
Yeah.
And you have a Subaru Forester and Caesar Sounders tickets.
And you what? And what?
And season tickets to the Sounders. You know
what
I'm saying?
Yeah. Soccer, man.
And you fucking got a Husky and, you know, your babies is 3 and 5 and they're taking Taekwondo. Like a bunch. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You blink your eyes and it's like that time flies by because it's so cozy, man.
Yeah.
So cozy.
Sounds good to me.
It does to me, too. I'll be doing a lot of fucking salmon fishing and crabbing up there, too, in between those years.
Could go up to Alaska. That's just fun. I did that one time. It's very cold, though.
What was it like growing up there for you?
I mean, for me.
Well, you already said that your dad was gone.
Right. He bounced. He bounced at
so
8.
So you were raised by a single mom. So he left at 8.
I mean, he wasn't really around consistently, but like he was gone at 8.
Right.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, where'd he go?
I didn't get his address. He didn't forward it to me. I don't know where the nigga went, but, you know, yeah, he's dead now, so it's whatever.
Cool.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, and I'm not trying to be morbid or anything here, but you don't know what he died from.
No, I do know what he died from.
Oh, you do?
Because when I got out, I tried to go track him down. He died from emphysema and pneumonia, but he smoked cigarettes like John Wayne.
But and pneumonia?
And pneumonia.
Huh.
Probably was smoking in the rain.
Yeah.
probably had pneumonia. Probably took him... Eventually got pneumonia from the emphysema and pneumonia, which I just recently had, fucking take you out. Yeah. When you're in that, when you're in that kind of shape, yeah. When you're in that kind of shape,
you're smoking like that.
Senior citizen,
one of the negative side effects of Seattle, man.
Yeah,
well, he was old too. He died like 86.
Oh, really?
Wait, so he was? Well,
how old was your math? 78 when he had you?
No, he's like 60 something. My mom was like 31, 30 something.
So he was a baller.
Oh, I see. He passed away then, not when he left. I got you.
Right. Yeah. When, at the end, he's 30 years old. He's 30 years older than my mom. So I think he was 61.
I'm not saying he's a baller, but that's, you know what I mean. I did say, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
All right, so he bounced a date.
He's going to make you lose endorsements. You realize that?
No, our endorsements, they left a long time ago.
Yeah, so he bounced. Like, we grew up, man. We grew up in the North End, man. And, you know, like, I kicked it in the Central District and, you know, went to various high schools. Usually what happens with smart kids who are bored with the system, they just get in trouble.
So were you a smart kid? Were you good in school?
Well, you can tell smart you're just right. By how you're talking, you know, like
yeah.
You're intelligent. I know you're book smart, but did you, because a lot of kids don't do well in school because it's not challenging enough to them. They're just bored by it, basically. Were you that kid? Is that why you got in trouble?
Yeah, and the system didn't make sense. Still doesn't make sense to me as an adult. It doesn't make any sense. It's like the formula for how to succeed in school isn't designed for everybody.
That's what I'm saying. It's designed for memorization.
That's yeah, right. If you don't do that, like the way to cheat the system is to just do your homework, participate in class, and then ace the test.
That's right.
That's it.
He participates in class. He listens. He's a good student. He passed all his tests, and then you get an A.
Boring after a while. Yeah. You do that shit up to like 6th, 7th grade.
I struggled with it, so it was never boring to me. But you know, I'm saying to someone like you and people like that, I can get that. It makes sense to me that structure. You're like, we're going now to this class for an hour, and then this.
Yeah,
she was crazy whack. Yeah. Now, like, here's the thing: I suck at math, though. Like, I'm good with words and people. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, that's why I'm good at this comedy shit: words and people. But if you stuck like algebraic equation from dog, I took philosophy just so I could avoid doing any type of math.
Yeah.
Like, and then I was about to graduate and they were like, yo, you need to do math 95. I was like, fuck. So I went back to like community college. I was like, nah, man, I think this is it.
Really? You were like, you couldn't do it at all?
I was like, I cheated. I cheated every test. What, you didn't introduce, you didn't teach letters and numbers together when I was in elementary school. I can't do it now as an adult. I was like, hey, X squared? Nah, fuck out of here, man. I'm good, man.
Yeah. Just copied Derek off the girl comes home with his math, and now, 7th grade, and I look at him, I'm like, you ask your mom about that, man. I really don't know all that shit.
What?
I love math.
Yeah, shut up.
I love it.
I got basic down.
What'd you get up to in math?
I took senior advanced math in high school. That was the last year I was like undone.
Like chemistry and shit? Or like...
Oh, I took chemistry too, but that's more science than math.
Or geometry, that's what they are.
Oh, yeah. I crushed. I used to tutor geometry.
Shut the fuck up. You? For real?
Get the fuck out of shape. What kind of disrespect is that? How do you judge someone? This guy knows rhombuses. Get the fuck out of here, man.
Oh, Pythagorean theorem over here, man. Explain that shit.
I loved it. I felt like it was like, I always wanted to be a lawyer. That's what I thought I was going to be.
Me too.
A courtroom lawyer. Like, I just wanted to debate and, like, you know, and that's what, like, proofs were, like, proving something and, you know, using logic, you know. Anyway, I really dug it. I love numbers. I still do.
So, trouble led you into what?
I mean, shit, like, we used to bang, you know what I'm saying, Central to South End, like, that, those are the neighborhood beefs. Seattle, the immediate city of Seattle is probably about the same size as Boston. Boston's, like, what, 2.2 miles long? Right,
the immediate. Yeah, it's not big.
The immediate.
Yeah.
And you're surrounded South End, all that jazz. Yeah. But it's like, for us, it's like Central South End. And it's like maybe like 3 miles apart. But niggas are beefing.
Yeah.
But just two gangs?
Yeah, I mean, not two gangs.
Two main gangs, two like main LA gangs. Here?
Yeah, two
well,
main gangs.
Well, I shouldn't
gangs.
Say that because I know it was 18th Street.
About
guys,
two main gangs.
We're fucking too.
Well, there's Bloods and Crips beefing, right? There's various.
In Seattle.
Very set. Because you got to understand. Is that the Bloods and Crips in Seattle are the ones that got ran up out of L.A.
Yeah.
And they went up to Seattle.
I see that. I watch Lock Up a lot, and I see that that's also the same problem in Alaska, too. A lot of them got ran out of here, so they go up there and started up there.
Yeah, man.
So who did you bang with?
Crip. Playboy. Santana Block. Playboy, Santana Block, Crip. Straight up. SBC. You know what it is.
No, I don't. What do you mean? That's like, that was your part of the city that you guys would kick it in, or did you live there?
You said what?
Was that where you would, like, hang out, or did you live in that area, that block?
I mean, that's where I kicked it, and then that's where I stayed.
Okay.
My best friend, he's 7'4" Hoover, so 7'4" Hoover crib.
Yeah, I mean, you say it like we know what the hell you're talking about. What does that mean?
You know,
is that a 1970? Hey, he's born in 74.
Street knowledge, man. Well, next question, man.
Next question. Sorry, Larry. Next question.
Yo, man, I can't be divulging these street tales.
But I mean, how'd you get into it? Like, what happened?
You got jumped in. I mean, like, it is.
But you choose to get jumped in, though.
Well, I mean, either that or you're going to get fucked with.
Well, I'm saying, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you're going to get fucked with every day.
Might as well just be jumped in. If you're going to get your ass beat, might as well double down on the jumped in part of it.
I mean, you put in your work, you fight, you know, homies from the, you know, if someone's in your hood, if someone from Dorchester, mm-hmm. is in Southie,
mm-hmm.
and they're beefing. Those two neighborhoods are beefing, and they see him, they go after him. It's that simple.
Gotcha.
Same thing, Central South End. Someone from the South End, who's prominently known, is in the Central. He's at a bar turned up. You know, and then, oh, they'll run up in the bar. Get him. Boom. It's that simple.
Just for being there.
Just for having the audacity to be in that hood without slipping. So, you know what I'm saying? Now, if you're with your family, right,
but let me ask you: is it because that you're running drugs in that part of the city, and that's why it's your part of the town, or are you just like, nah, man, we just don't want you here?
I mean,
because that's what mafia used to be, right? It was like drugs and whatever they were running, and then that's what I want. Like, is that what gangs are doing primarily?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's still territories. You know? I mean, there's certain parts you just can't go to. There's certain parts of Seattle I still don't go to.
Yeah,
I damn sure won't be caught in West Seattle. Not in your fucking life.
Mm-hmm.
West Seattle's like, it's
I love West Seattle.
I don't like West Seattle because it's too fucking. There's too many ways in, not enough ways out. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's separated from the city. It's like Charleston, that one bridge that connects it, right?
Yeah.
You maybe can get to it from the back end, but that one bridge is the main way out.
Yeah.
It's the same way with West Seattle. One main bridge in, you can get to it from various little highways or something like that. But if the cops, if there's a chase, they cut off the main one, and slowly it'll trickle until you're just stuck there.
So were you still going to school while you were?
Nah, I stopped banging when I got out the joint. Realistically, when I got out of jail, I stopped banging.
Well, perfect. So let's talk about that.
Great time to stop.
When did you go into jail?
I was 22, and I was in school and I was hustling. I was selling everything, but.
In school, what you were college?
I was in college. I was doing everything, but I was selling everything but heroin and ecstasy, because ecstasy became manslaughter charges after like 2005.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah, because that was, I mean, if you remember, I don't know if you guys remember Bad Boys 2, like when that came out, like every ecstasy was everywhere. If it's in mainstream movies, that means it's been going on for a while.
Yeah.
Like that's why now they're doing heroin, even though it's been sweeping the fucking
East
for a while.
Oh, yeah.
So I was hustling, I was making money, I was going to school there, you know, doing my money, and I met this girl, and we was fucking around, you know, and then, long story short, we got in an argument, cops got called, I went to jail, no contact order placed on that, right? She felt remorseful, a couple weeks later, hits me up, like, let's kick it. I was like, nah, you got the cops involved, I can't fuck with you. So she calls it, so she's like, she's really angry, I'm ignoring her, she's coming to my house. Trying to talk. I'm like, nah. One day she called the cops from outside my house. Then she said, you know, she snitched on me. She's like, yo, he's doing this. He's hustling. He's got pistols. Do this. You got to invade. You got to check it out. They raid my spot. They find everything. And then there's a warrant out for me. In fact, here's the thing. I was going to court, and that's when they arrested me because I was taking care of the warrant.
Oh, for her.
Yeah.
That was the warrant that was out.
Man, that chick.
She doubled up on you.
Dog. Like, I sat in the county for like 6 months just saying, it wasn't mine. It's not mine. Because everything, you know, I beat that case because the apartment wasn't in my name. I was subletting it off Craigslist. They had no fingerprints on the pistol. They couldn't find the person who did own the apartment. All that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, all it was residue. I was like, it's not mine. I ain't know that there's nothing. I don't know any of this stuff. I don't know.
Except for this one I'm polishing right here. The rest of this shit I had. I got a permit.
They didn't catch me. They didn't catch me in there. Like, they caught me in court. So they just raided my spot. And I remember the discovery packet that they came with was thick. They're like, you're going down 46 months. I was like, for the first time ever being locked up, I'm going to the joint for 46 months? Fuck out of here. I'll take it to the box. If that's the max I can live, that's a cartwheel underneath 4 years.
Take it to the box, man.
What's taking it to the box?
Take it to the jury.
Gotcha. I like that, dude. I'm going to take that shit to the box.
Take it to the box. So I said, hey, man, 46 months is like a cartwheel underneath 4 years. Mm-hmm. So I was like, and that's the thing. When they sentence you, they don't sentence you in fucking years. They sentence you in months. So when you're like,
you gotta do that
120
math.
Months, you'd be like,
shit,
10 years. Yeah. 10 fucking years. Niggas be true. I seen some niggas breaking under pressure when they got that sentence.
Wait a minute. So you had to do a year for because of this chick? How is she now? You guys still keep in touch?
Nah, I haven't talked to her in years, man.
That's probably why.
Maybe like, she'll reach out now with the cancer.
When I got sense, dudes, like the homies, like, you want us to fucking tighten up? I'm like, nah, don't do that because it's automatically going to come back to me.
Yeah.
And they also record all these phone conversations. Like, please get off the fucking phone saying this stupid shit. So like, all right, dog. All right, man. I was like, just let it be, man. I'll be out in a little bit. So I remember sitting there, man. So I got sentenced on my birthday.
Come on.
They're like 13 months. I said, whew. Yes.
So it dropped from what, 48?
Because they kept dropping the charges because they didn't have any case.
Yeah.
So then I was like, do you guys really want to wait? Like they would come to me. They'd be like, here's the deal. I'm like, that's not a deal. That's a dick. And I'm not taking that. So just figure something out. Take it back. So this public pretender was just in there doing that. And I was like, yeah, I'm good. I fired her. Got a good lawyer.
He gets the shittiest reps. The doctors to get public defender firing them.
Well, I thought it was going to be. I was like, there's no case. So I was like, we could beat this easy. But what they do, system's a trap. You know what I'm saying? They get you to sign a deal. You're on probation. They put these outrageous expectations on probation, knowing that you're going to violate. And every time you violate, your time for probation stops. And then when you get out, it starts again. So it's a trap. It's a cold, just system's a cold trap. So I fired her, got a good lawyer. Boom. 13 months. I signed it in blood so quick. It was like, that's it from 46 to 13. Like, please.
Wait, because you knew that they had something. Otherwise, you would have kept going, right?
I knew that I violated no contact order.
Gotcha.
So I was like, there's no doubt about that. And the way the prosecutor came to me was like, look, you take this deal or I'm going to go for an extreme sentence. Exceptional. They call it exceptional sentence and try and go outside your sentence and range and try and get you more time. And I was like, that didn't seem like it was worth the risk. So I was like, I'll take that deal.
Gotcha.
So I took did 13, got out the day before Thanksgiving 2007. And then started to adjust. Yeah, man.
So wait a minute. What did you do every day? What were you doing every day?
Walk us through
in jail?
A day of jail.
Wake up, breakfast 4:15.
Hold on. Walk
4:15 in the morning?
Yeah.
Can I ask you to go through your first day? Do you remember? You got to remember.
He remembers every date. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Are you scared? Are you anxious? Are you, you know, is it, what's going on?
You're drunk or high.
Going in from the night they sent you off.
So you're turned up to maximum levels. You get arrested.
Oh, you're going
you're
in
like,
hungover.
I, and plus, when you're hustling, you know you got the money. So that's the thing. When they locked me up, I was like, man, I'll bail out. I was like, $20,000, 10% of that, $2,000. I got $2,000 damn near in my pocket. I'll get a little fucking bail bondsman, sign away, 2 G's, boom. And right when I was about to do it, they're like, hey, before we take your money, I want to let you know that they have 7 other charges pending at $20,000 a piece.
Oh.
I was like, 7 times. That's, you want 100? What? You want that much money? I was like, nah, I'm good. We'll sit here. So then you sober up, you start eating the food. I remember I was so crazy.
What'd you have? Yeah.
So crazy, man. Just, I don't eat pork. So it was like, I had ended up giving away my bologna sandwiches. You know what I'm saying? They called me Birdman because all I ate was really the bird, the seed. They give us seeds. So they give us like, you know, like, and so breakfast 4:15 in the morning.
God.
You go back to sleep. You rack out for morning 7 to 9.
What's that mean?
Rack out means you get out your cell.
Okay.
You get out your cell.
What are you doing? Are
sometimes
they putting you to
watching
work,
TV.
Or?
Nah. Sometimes you're watching TV.
TV?
Mm-mm. You watch a TV. There's two TVs.
What's on it?
Two TVs.
Nothing. You're watching VH1.
I don't give a shit. I have one.
You're watching
TV,
VH1 music videos. The white boys had the TV.
I don't
TV
even have
the
VH1.
Right.
That's not
they,
my
they
package.
Had, they were watching country videos. Niggas were watching rap videos. That's what's going on.
That's it.
That's it.
And this is what
showers,
time? Like
showers
7 a.m.
The TV. Some people walk in the yard doing their in the yards. Yards about this big. Maybe higher roof about this big.
The size of the studio.
There's like a hoop there, a pull up bar. And a bench. Not a weight bench, but a bench.
And how many people sharing all this space?
Yeah.
I mean, each tank, if I was in E unit, each tank, had, each cell had two people. Let's say maximum during the summer when niggas is really fucking up, you probably got 60, 70 dudes in there.
In a room like this?
Well, that'd be
well,
a thing.
And the showers and the TVs and shit.
Yeah. So it's just dispersed between the space. This is the yard, though. This isn't right. Like the full tank. The tank is bigger.
Yeah.
So you get out, you're watching TV, and then what's next? They make you go back into your cell?
You rack back in 9 o'clock, maybe 9:30. They do shift change. They dig out sack lunches at like 10:30.
Lunch is 10:30.
Wait, you eating your cell?
You eating your cell.
You had a cellmate?
Yeah.
How many did you have in that 13 months?
Nigga, I watched one dude go and come out. Like, he got out and came back two times.
In your same cell?
No, in the jail. Like, he'd get out, he'd be like, yeah, I'm out of here, Bert. I'm out of here, man. I'm out of here. Nigga came back July 7th, bro. I'm sitting there like, nigga, I'm dying to get out of here. You fucking coming back? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It was so seeing niggas come back was so stressful because it made you be like, what is going on out there?
Yeah.
And then you realize some niggas are just crackheads. And you just be like, all right.
So, were you cool with your cellmates? Were they cool with you? Or
for the
some
most
of them?
Part, there was this Samoan dude. We call him Oos. There was this Oos who had like one tooth, and he always did it. And I'd be like, I get so irritated. I'm like, dog, please, can you not do that? My bad, Oos.
Like, he couldn't help it.
It's like, this nigga keeps doing it. I can't do it. I'm like, I gotta get this nigga out, man. Because at this point, because the thing is, when you come in and you start, you're in the top bunk, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then as you get seniority or the nigga gets out, you ask the guard, can I move to the bottom bunk? All right, cool. You move to the bottom bunk. Then, you know, starts that. But I was there for so long that I was at. Then I got moved up to trustee after like 4 or 5 months.
What's that?
Trustee is like you get to be outside your cell.
And
you're like a tank worker.
That's what I was going to say. Like you in charge of some of the guys that are doing work and
right,
shit like that.
Right.
Yeah,
and that was dope. And then they moved.
That's usually reserved for guys that have been in there for 25 years and shit.
Like, or for people who are good, yeah. You know? Yeah, because there's a wait list. You sign for the wait list.
And you earn it.
Or niggas go to the joint. Niggas go to the joint and be like, oh, yo, I'm rolling up. Yo, word, I'm one step closer to tank worker. Then if you get to the jail, if you're like a trustee of the jail, dogs, chill, you get out all day. You're out all day.
So you're just working.
So what's lights out?
9.
9 p.m.
9 p.m. But you usually lights out, they do it 10 or 11. 11.
But you're back in your cell.
You're back in your cell.
You're
reading your book. Yeah. You know, they only allow 3 books. They do random raids. They find stuff. You rack back. You lose your whole yard time. You go crazy in the cell. You sit there. You're like,
for having more than 3 books?
Sometimes. Having more than 3 books, have more food. One time I got racked back, I had more seeds I was supposed to have. They're like, Birdman with the seeds again, man. Birdman with the seeds again.
You're grounded now, plant.
I was there. This is real. This is real shit, man. Like, I love the bird seeds. I love the seeds. They had, like, good honey roasted seeds.
What were they? Sunflower seeds?
No. They were just seeds. Like flavored seeds.
Okay.
And then, like, you know, obviously you get money in your books.
It's way different in prison, I guess.
I guess so.
Right now, it was just seeds. I mean, you know, because they had Keefe Coffee. You know what I'm saying? That's a company Bush runs. Bush owns Keefe Coffee.
It got in the
it's
system.
It's in the system. Huh? How about that?
So it's like, so here's the thing. Like, you get trustee. Like, so obviously.
How about that?
Obviously, you can't just live off jail food, right? Mm-hmm. So you get money in the book, so then you buy your soups. You buy your soups. If you're playing bones, you gamble with soups.
Mm-hmm.
You get to joint, you gamble with smokes. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But niggas has got currency in there, right? So, and they see a nigga with big store. Ooh. I mean, some niggas walk back 2 bags Santa Claus shit, man. extra soups and cookies and honey buns and
how,
Debbie's
how they
and
earn
Swiss rolls and shit, man. Like sometimes niggas would just have a lady, a family out there, and they would just, oh man, dog.
And then you just gamble with all that?
Sometimes you eat. Sometimes, like, when we rack out for lunch at 12, then, like, we'd make spread. Or at nighttime, we make spread. So someone, you get a chili, you get like a chili soup, and I got a chicken soup, and then you got a beef soup. We put that shit together. You know what I'm saying? Mash that up. Should have let it sit, man. Dice up some turkey sausage, some cheese, some cheddar. You know, a little cheese? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A little beef jerky sticks and the dice that up in there, man. Fucking mush it all together, man. That shit was gourmet eating, bro. I'm like,
so wait, three of you guys would like make your that would be.
Dog,
your...
sometimes we all come together.
Everybody's like, pulling their shit together.
Everyone, dog. We made a big ass spread in the trash.
We got ding dong chili here, everybody.
Hey, real rap, real rap. Like we'd all put together. Like then we make pies. And you can take all the cookies, so you save up the cookies from your lunch, right?
Oh,
so
that's
get, like,
a good idea.
So you mash up for the crust. Then we get a fruit. Get dice up the apple. So niggas are dicing up apples with sporks.
Okay.
That's great. So you're dicing it up, putting it in there. Boom. Oh, man.
And where would you cook it?
Microwave it.
Oh, you have microwaves?
Yeah. We're not savages.
I don't even have one.
Cookies
right
with apple.
That shit was...
All right. So how did they... Because I watch Log Up how they do all this crazy shit, and it just blows me away. Did you guys have an
Bruno?
Alcoholic drink or something else? Did
we had
Or did you get them snuck in? Did anybody get them from the outside to come in, like a beer here and there or what?
Yeah, we had Pruno. We made Pruno one time, which is fermented fruit.
But how'd it work?
You just save up fruit, put it in a trash bag.
But did it fuck you up?
I mean, when you just detox,
yeah.
After you've been, you know, down 8-9 months,
mm-hmm.
You feel me? Then you get a little something with a little kick.
Grape juice will fuck you up.
You'd be like, God, damn! Like, I remember sipping it one time. I was like, woof!
Is this Welch?
It was the point, man. I was so like conditioned after being locked up. When I got out, me and my boys, they had a big ass party for me at the club.
Wait, can I just bring it back one second? I want to know. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'll shut
up. No, go ahead.
I want to know about the night before you got out. You know what I mean? Like the night
you know next day.
You have a date, right?
First of all, yeah. And every day,
I'll write down so we don't forget to talk about the party outside.
Every day, once you hit like 2 weeks. That's when everyone's counting down for you.
And are they rooting for you or are they trying to fuck you up?
Some niggas is trying to fight you to get you to stay longer.
Jeez.
So sometimes
they're
like,
for entertainment's sake.
They were like, yo, hey man, I got 13 days in a wake up, you're out. So they don't count that day. So it's like, oh, 12 days in a wake up, 10 days, 6 days in a wake up,
and
5 days, 3 days. So then you wake up like, oh man, tomorrow bird's out. Party! Oh man, spread, pies, everything, man. I got to stay out late. But they roll you up extra early.
Stay out late. Where the hell did you go?
I mean, just till 10 with the trustee tape.
Okay.
So then we do. Oh man, fucking. Oh man, it was for the night before. I remember I was giving away shit. Niggas like, yo man, can I get you baby powder? Can I get you? Oh man, lotion. Let me get you lotion. Man, you gonna take the lotion now? Hey man, let me. But I remember my girl at the
it's
time.
Like a fire sale. And you're so.
Oh man, I was giving it out. You get a couch. You get a card.
TV guy for everybody.
Oh, man. It was so much fun, man.
I mean, one for everybody.
We made a big ass spread. I remember because, like, niggas was like, yo, order Big Bird this order Big Store this week, Bird. Order Big Store this week so we can all eat when you leave, man. We'll have a big ass spread. I was like, nah, man, because you get the money back on your books.
Oh, you do?
Get out. So I was like, I'll just chill. But I blew through all my savings, my hustle savings, paying a lawyer.
Yeah.
And paying for an apartment that I wasn't staying in. So then I was like, all right. So I hit the streets with $77.
Oh, jeez.
After sitting on 10, I hit the streets with $77. So I was like, man, I got to. My girl at the time hooked me up with a job at Foot
Locker. Did anyone pick you up that day?
Yeah, my mom, my girl at the time, my cousin Sean. They came and got me. But here's the thing. I wear glasses. But I got in a fight and my glasses broke. So it was like a gradual process. Got in a fight first, the arm broke off in the fight, and then it fell, and then like the frame, the joint part right here,
mm-hmm.
Can you hear me still? All right, the joint part right here broke, so then like it's loose, so like I have to keep holding it together.
While you're fighting?
Well, no, just so I could see. Finally, one day, I got so
fucking
irritated.
Velma from Scooby-Doo over here.
I got so irritated, man. I was just like, man, fuck these. Broke the glasses and was just going through blind. So the first thing we did when I got out was go to optometrist.
That's the first thing.
First thing, because it was so early, we went to Denny's and then we went to optometrist.
Denny's had to be
moons
like,
over Miami.
Oh, that had to be the best fucking
diet. Chocolate chip pancakes. A orange creamsicle shake, man, and hash browns and scrambled eggs with cheese. I remember sitting there like, oh my God, because it's such small portions in the joints. So, yeah. It's like, so when I got a big plate, I was like, oh, this is a, I can eat all this. I can eat all this fucking food. I'm pushing it away.
They're in the back like, the black guy's taking all the cookies.
Oh,
what is he going to do with all those cookies?
Then we went to the optometrist. And that was the night before I got out. Day after that, I started working at Foot Locker.
Wow.
You know what?
That's great.
Not only is it great, good for Foot Locker. They hired a guy down to prison for one day.
Out for a day, man.
That interview process might have been like.
Nah, it was my girl's right. friend who was a manager. So I was staying in Tacoma. So like I was staying in Springfield.
Yeah.
And working.
You gotta be the only guy that ever got a job at like a respectable place the day after you got out of jail.
That was the thing. That was the deal, man. To get out, I had to have an address.
Oh, man.
I had to have an address they were gonna release me to, and I had to have a job. And so otherwise, there's some if you're homeless, if you're, you know, you ain't no address.
Yeah, man.
Some niggas staying there past when they supposed to be out. Because you get a third off for good time. So
you had a job set up?
Yeah.
So you were an employee of Foot Locker while you were technically still in jail.
Yeah. I had everything.
Those stripes match you, man. Those stripes weren't good for you then.
I had it all set up. I had it all set up. I went and stayed with my girl in Tacoma at the time. And then.
Did you like it in jail?
Did I like it? It's a great place to visit, but you don't want to live there.
Yeah.
Were you comfortable there? Were you ever 100% comfortable there?
Nah. There's some niggas who's like, man, I ain't tripping. I'll do my five. Like, whoa, all right. You know, that's five?
Yeah.
60 months? You just okay with just throwing that away for what?
Yeah.
I'm good, fam. Like, I seen some crazy shit. I seen a nigga squat so much weight, his asshole ripped.
Wait, what'd he do?
Oh, blew his ass open squatting too much.
He dog, it was probably like maybe 4 45s of each one. Nigga squat. He went down. I seen this one dude got tired of getting bullied. He took a weight and just while dude was fucking curling, just bashed him in the head while he was
doing curls.
Weight. Yeah, while he was curling and he just took it like a free weight. Boom, we lost weights. That was it. No more weights.
Done, yeah.
Just that was that.
I think they took him out of the California system now altogether because guys were just getting too fucking big. Like, why do you need to be in there getting bigger than the guards?
I mean, it's the same
what
thing.
About,
routine. It's about routine.
Yeah. You said, yeah. I remember one time I watched it was a lockup in, I want to say, Rikers Island. There's this dude who is yoked, and he doesn't lift a weight, but he sits in his cell, and he'll get on his hands and, like, in the corner and do handstands and just bang them out all day. And they come in. And they're like, watch this. And they put a regular set of handcuffs on him. He just goes snap and pops them right off. So they have to put him in full-on shackles to move him around because he can snap regular cuffs behind his back like it's no big deal. And he just looks like steroids, but it's all pure.
You know
it's
the crazy. CrossFit craze that goes on here? That's just a joint routine for free white people, man. That's all it is. That's all it is. Like, no, I walk in the gym. I walked by a CrossFit today, the one on Main Street next to Downtown Independent. I walked in, and there's just like a bar and like a big tractor tire and a rope. And I'm like, we're doing this shit.
Yeah.
Like, this is all stuff. Like, niggas doing just bar workout.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, like, cats in the bar is like, oh, what you working? I'm on the bar today. Okay, cool. Do this. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't need to be a certified gym trainer, but you just do this. That gets that part. Get the biceps. The further you go out, working your back.
Yeah.
You do push-ups. You do narrow. You're getting the fucking, that's when you get in the sternum. You're getting the fucking, the valley.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You do them further wide. That's when you get in the cup size. You know what I'm saying? That's when you get the fucking full circle right there. Boom, boom. So sometimes you're doing like this. You do 10, 10, 10, all the way out. 10, 10, 10, all the way back in. I mean, you don't need, sometimes you need, niggas is going to figure out how to get diesel, bro.
Yeah. So, you had said earlier something about dominoes. Was that a fight over dominoes? Was that in jail?
Yeah, there's this bitch dude named Shadow D, dog. He's a bitch.
Shadow D?
Shadow
D. Man, hold on a second. Shadow D, get out of here, man.
Yeah, step out of, step in from out of the shadows.
Come on, man. Bring your brother Heavy, man.
Heavy's in the shadow.
That was smooth. Good one. That was good. All right. Fucking wordsmith over here. I ain't anticipating that. But Shadow D, man, he was a little bass head. From downtown, from the south end, but nigga kept cheating and bones, and he'd talk shit, but he was cool with my neighbor, Red. So Red was doing fed time and state time, right? Because he went down for some other shit. So he was looking at double time. He was just trying to get it ran concurrently, not consecutively. So we're like, all right, so long story short, this nigga Shadow D keep doing this. I said, man, do this. He's like, nigga, you ain't going
to. What was he doing?
He kept palming the fucking bones,
yeah,
dog.
Yeah, but tell me what palm. I know you're
like
holding
he palms,
him.
He's going like this, but the nigga's trying to sneak the bone underneath the table called Domino.
Oh, so like I said, he doesn't have it. But you're going to find it down there eventually, aren't you?
I'm just like, dog, because we have to shuffle the bones. And then if there's four gotcha. Players, we all got seven, someone's short. Where's the bone? Oh, I didn't know it was right there. This nigga kept doing it. And we're gambling with it. So
try
I'm like, dog,
soup, huh?
Do that shit again, bro. You're going to catch his fade. I promise you, man. He's like, nigga, you ain't gonna do it. And I was like, hey, Shadow, dog. Niggas get killed for less, bro. Like, you'll get tightened up fast, man. Like, you ain't gonna do shit, bird. I'm so sick of you. Daddy, you a bitch. I'm like, hey, call me a bitch one more time. I'll come across this table. He ain't say nothing. I was like, all right, cool. Everybody's like, ooh. So we keep playing. And he starts twisting his hair. He's like, fuck, bird's a bitch. Boom! Through the fucking bones, I hopped across the table. I pound that nigga's skull. I was jabbing him. I was on top of that nigga's head, bro. I was on top of that nigga's head. Top five. I've never reacted that fast in my life. Like NFL combine time. Like that's speed shit.
Yeah.
Like I was over the table and on his helmet before he could even blink. Because I heard him. I was there. I was waiting. I was like, he gonna try you, dog. He going to, but he was quiet. So I was like, don't even sit back. Don't even sit, because he going to say some shit. So we playing bones. Shit, okay, you about to make this nigga knock. Okay, cool. All right, dude. Oh, he going to say something. Says bird's a bitch.
So what'd you get for that?
Yeah, what's your trouble for that inside?
I lost my rack out for the rest of the day.
That's it? For one day?
I mean, they weren't going to throw
me. I'm going to say, that's worth it then.
No, they weren't going to throw me in the hole. I mean, I'm lucky.
Just fighting. They were like, this is that fights.
Well, because
every day.
I never had any interaction, no infraction before. And niggas knew, like, everyone saw it building up. You know what I'm saying? Everyone saw, because this nigga kept saying shit. He kept saying shit.
And guards are right there hearing everything, right?
Right, but they don't give a fuck. And they're looking at, like, but they couldn't pull me off him. I was blasting that nigga.
Yeah.
They let you go a little bit. Yeah, let you get a couple. I heard him call you a bitch.
I remember, hey, they called medical status. They say code blue for when the guards come in, and they let that go for about 45 seconds, man.
Yeah.
45 seconds is me just working that nigga's head. And they're like, medical status too, code blue. Guards come in, bird, what's going on? Man, fuck this guy, man. I'm like, wah, wah, wah. Oh, man, it was crazy. It was fun, though.
You and I actually have something in common. I witnessed the aftermath of a Domino's fight in community college. I've told this a long time ago, but I went to Catonsville Community College, which is in Baltimore County, and in the cafeteria area, there used to be a lot of card playing in between classes,
right.
Dominoes, whatever, pass the time. And one day, somebody cheated, and they called him out on it, and the dude was so upset about it, he picked up a chair and he hit the guy over the head with it and ended up cracking his skull. And they had to land a helicopter to fly this dude out. Like, that's how severe it got. And the next day, there were signs on all the poles in the cafeteria that said, no game or card playing. Like, that, wow. That was the end of that shit, yeah.
I mean, that's terrifying to me, because that's a charge.
Yeah, yeah. That's attempted murder.
Yeah, exactly. That's the biggest thing with me. Like, I don't fight no more. Like, I'm just like, I get hot, I flash, I might, like, slap somebody. I don't, like, try and, like, do damage like I used to.
So, wait a minute. So, you get out.
Yeah, and there was a party you were saying. I interrupted that. Sorry.
All right, get out, man. They have a big-ass party for Bird's home, man. Q's home, man. What's good? So we, hey, I'm dead serious. Like, we had a big-ass party. It was at...
Where?
This club in Pioneer Square, man. I forget, man. Seattle clubs shut down and opened back up with new names, but it was like, I don't know, on DV8, some shit. some shit. We go there and it was niggas bottle service. And I remember like I'm on this, they're trying to get me laid.
This is family and friends, or this is just your friends?
This is the hood. This okay. is just friends. You know, they're like birds out. Oh, man, what's good? We about to take you. We about to get your dick wet, dog. We about to get you in. So I was like, hey, it's been a little bit, man. I'm ready, man. What's happening? So we go to a little party, man. We go to a club. Nigga gets cold anxiety. Like, it's too much. Too many people, too much movement. The strobe lights hit. Yeah. I damn near have a breakdown, man.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I lost my shit.
Because this is day one out. Day one, like, the evening of day one.
No.
Freedom.
Yeah. Evening of day one of freedom. I remember my girl's like, where you going? I was like, I'm going out with the homies, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever. I'm not tripping. I'll be back. I'm back. And so, like, and then I remember next day was Thanksgiving and we were with her family. And then the day after that was when I started work. So it was my only time to turn up. But I freaked out. I couldn't handle it. It was too much stimulation. Nigga, I was like, girl's like, hey, what's up, man? You want it like that? Nah, I'm good, man. Just go, man. I told my boy, I was like, yo, man, this is before Uber. So you just fucked. So I was just like, yo, I'm good. I'm going to go home. He's like, nah, man, wait, we'll get so-and-so to drive you home. I'm like, I'm good, man. I just got to get out of here right now. I can't take all this. So I ended up just going outside, just chilling. Like, looking up at the night sky, just been like,
yeah, man.
You just did all that time. You didn't snitch. You just, man, life's crazy, man. What you gonna do now, Q? You 20.
20?
No, you 23. You 23.
Still, that's young.
I was like, what you gonna do now, man? I don't know. You're gonna figure something out. And then while I'm thinking this to myself, girl comes out, starts talking to me. It's like, oh, you, what's up, man? You're the boy of honor. Everyone's here for you. Why are you out here? I'm like, I'm just not feeling it. Da, da, da. Then we end up talking, hitting it off. And it's like, well, I'll take you home. I was like, say what? She's like, I'll take you home. I was like, all right, cool. Took me home.
Perfect.
Good for her.
So then when was it that comedy came in after all that? Like, then so you started working at Foot Locker?
Before I went to the joint, because I didn't know what was going to happen. I was like, I don't know if I was going to make it out. Because I had never been locked up before.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I don't know if I'm going to make it out. So I did an open mic before.
I've never been locked up before. It's just a funny thing to state.
Were there any open mics in the clink?
We used to freestyle.
Did you?
We used to freestyle. I had a line that ended this nigga's career. He don't rap to this day.
Career. He ended his prison career.
I said, yo, I put holes in your blocks like the holes in your socks. And niggas is like, wah!
That's tight.
Because nigga had said he had a big toe. I was like, oh, what a
big toe.
Niggas was going hard after that. I remember there was this country dude named, country CEO named Gillum. Gillum, he always did chew. Always did chew.
You know what? He's still chewing today.
Gillum, get your ass in here. Bring your skull bandits.
And you're hawking.
Bring the captain, man.
Hey, he had me thinking about joining the French Foreign Legion when I got out, man.
What?
He's like, yo, they let you start over fresh in France. They give you money, but you abandon all your citizenship. No, I was like,
oh, you have to abandon, yeah.
To be a French Foreign Legion. I was like, man, I don't sound too bad, man. I ain't got too much to go home to anyway. I might do that, but I ain't do that, but still.
And then into comedy.
I got into comedy, man. I started doing comedy when I went to school. Did a couple open mics. I did a couple open mics, man. I went to a couple comedy competitions. I remember we did this one in Yakima.
But how old are you at this point?
I think I'm 25.
But okay. See, this is the thing that's amazing to me, is that you're coming out of jail, but you have the perspective, and you're so well-spoken. I mean, you don't picture someone coming out of jail and then just getting into comedy and people being like, oh, what's up, man? And just being, you know, in it. You know what I'm saying? You feel like there's like a transition period. It feels like for you, you're just like, hey, I did my time. I'm done. This is who I am now.
That's exactly what it was, because like I didn't want to go back. Like,
yeah,
like there's some dudes who's like, they go to jail. They don't mind it. I was like, I can never.
I think you going to jail was probably a blessing.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you didn't, you would have kept going and something, you would have tripped up somewhere.
Though I have no doubt. I even look at this cancer as a blessing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, ain't no way I would ever follow Chris Rock this soon in my career. Ain't no way I ever would have got to feature for Bill Burr this soon in my career.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, everything's happened for a reason. Like, this cancer sucked at first. I ain't going to lie. You know,
when did you follow Rock?
Last week before last.
How was that?
shit, I was watching a nigga who I watched growing up. It was crazy. I was watching from backstage, like, this is dope. Rock still got it. I guess the throne isn't as vacant as we thought.
Yeah, you know what
I'm saying? Like, I'm like, all right, we're going, all right. And they're like, hey, you feel like going up? I'm like, goddamn right, I feel like going up.
Yeah.
But when? They're like, after Rock. I'm like, okay. Okay. You want me to follow Rock? So I go out there. So I'm like, I was tweeting. I was like, yo, Q, you belong here. You're the best. You're going to keep doing this. Like, you here for a reason. You here for a reason. All right, showtime. I get out on stage, throw three jabs. Pop, pop, pop. All jokes hit hard. Pop, pop, pop. Then I do one. It grazes. Then I was like, what'd you guys expect? You know what I'm saying? Like, you just watch Chris Rock for free. You
thought one of the best ever.
Yeah,
ever.
So you thought I was going to hit it further out the park than he did? Is that what you thought?
Yeah.
You thought I was just going to come out, just some rookie dude? Is it not, nah, man? Come on, man. Like, come on. You're not even paying attention. You thinking about breakfast. You thinking about lunch tomorrow. Like, you're not paying attention to my Subway joke.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then everyone's like, okay. So I just did 20.
You reset it.
Yeah,
you did 20?
Yeah. I did 20.
Good for you.
Niggas was like, yeah, I held my own.
Good, man. I wouldn't expect it. I mean, I wouldn't expect you not to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, man, shit was crazy. Like, you watch a nigga who you grew up, like, that Niggas Versus Black People bit and No Sex in the Champagne Room are the bits that made me want to do comedy.
Yeah.
Niggas Versus Black People bit is like, I have thoughts like that. I should say those things.
Yeah, man.
I could say those things.
It's so crazy, too. A lot of people forget, like, when you're following a beast like that, you got to do everything you can just to reset the room.
Oh,
you got to
yeah.
distract. I mean, you got to, use trickery. So that was great that you addressed it and then got everyone to move on because otherwise they would. They would just hold you this expectation of the guy that's, like, one of the greatest ever.
I mean, it also worked that, like, I mean, I always address whatever's in the room. You know what I'm saying? Like, if someone says something, I could riff off that. I could go off that real easy. But it was like the first three jokes were like, they were just crisp jabs. I was like, oh, man, I'm about to go for a knockout. Wait till I get to this pit.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one grazed. I was like, oh, they're about to knock me out. They're going to kill me with crickets.
Man.
I was like, nah. But, yeah, I mean, then I did good. I did 20. And then, like, yeah, I told Judd to tell Chris. I was like, yo, tell him thanks for opening for me, man.
Yeah, totally.
But Chris Rock could just kill, like, nonstop.
Yeah, man, he's
like
amazing.
Even in like a conversation, you could just kill. You're just like his Judd came out, did a question and answer with him, and I was like, "Yo, stop! Please stop! Like, stop! Stop killing so hard! Like, you're gonna make it difficult to follow."
Yeah, man.
But yeah, that was comedy. I got into that. I was doing comedy competitions in college.
Seattle's got a really good comedy scene. Yeah.
Then I got serious with it about 2010. We're in six, maybe 2009. I got dead serious. I was like, I want to do this full time. I did maybe like a year and a half, and then I moved down here.
That's great.
I was like, I'm ready to go pro.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm ready to go pro. Like, all I knew was Rory was moving down here. I had Duncan Trussell's number. And this is when you realize when you move down here that phone numbers mean nothing. Because I hit up Trussell. It was like, yo, man, I'm here, man. What's up? I'm ready to grind. He's like, hey, I'm at the improv. Where you at? I was like, at a mic? What the fuck you mean? What am I doing? I'm not going to the improv. I'm not a headliner, nigga. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Hook it up. He's like, oh, man, stay in Echo Park. I was like, get out of here, man. I was so upset. Because I thought, I mean, you know, we all have delusions when we come here. How's it going to be? Write for a show, get discovered, yada, yada. It's great.
Yeah. And then you really, like, it's just like doing that dishwasher 2 weeks. You figure out if you really want to do it or not.
For 4 years, I did that shit.
Yeah, man.
I did 1,000 sets in 2013 that I would get every festival possible.
Damn.
Nothing. No Bridgetown, no fucking nothing. 2014 is when I got a festival.
Yeah.
Then I was like, all right, cool.
It's always like that. When you're ready for it, they ain't ready. You know, it's a select few that they're like, they're ready for that person when they're ready. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm told no a lot. Oh, yeah. We all are told
on the
no
reg, man. I told no six times last week.
But you guys pay your bills off this year. That's essentially all I want to do.
Yeah.
But now I'm hot now, man.
Yeah, well.
I'm hot.
So let me ask you this then, because, I mean, this is a legit question, I think, especially as a comedian. We were talking before we started. You've got this GoFundMe, right?
Right.
And are you ready for your hour? Are you ready to do your hour?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, I'm ready to do my hour. I mean, this is something, I churn and burn material so quickly. But like for me, now it's about piecing together. You know what I'm saying? Like now it's like not just going through the book. Like, okay, well, these are all jokes, right? I could do 30. I'm gonna go do 30 in Ventura after this. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. I'm just doing okay, cruise. But now it's about piecing together. Okay, white people brunch, Yelp review, wine testing. Doing now it's about piecing together so it's smooth. Because you look at it, this ain't just time for me to do it. This is like me having a rare opportunity to transcend the hierarchy of what comedy is. No late night set, no colleges, no Comedy Central half hour, no fucking acting on a show, no hour. I just transcend all those to get to the hour. And now I'm ready for it. I'm ready to do it.
Well, I mean, it's a different time too. You know, there's so many different ways that you can get to things. You know what I mean?
I just used cancer.
Yeah. All you had to do is get cancer, man.
Hey, man. Price we pay for success, man.
So wait, they told you a year.
The ultimate price.
They told me, we're trying to drop it on August 6th.
What do you mean?
We're trying to drop a special on August 6th.
Which would be the air anniversary of like the 1 year they told you had?
And it'd be like, I'm alive, motherfucker, what's happening?
Yeah, but what if you die on the 7th, man?
The special still gets marketed great. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm a businessman.
I like that outlook.
All right.
Like, if I die in the 7th.
I just made me think of this, too. If you do pass, what do you have something set up with the money? Who does it go to? Does it go to your mom?
Yeah, it goes to my mom. Okay. Yeah, it goes to my mom, my niece, and my nephew.
Okay.
I got niece and nephew, 11, 13.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, you know, everything's set up, man. Yeah. You know, because when you're young, like, I'm 31, so, like, when you get faced with your mortality, it's like everything I thought about that was, like, optional before. Marriage, kids, and shit like that. All that is now like brought hella close to you. You're like, yeah. Oh, I want to get married. Like, will anybody marry me? I don't want to die alone. Like, I don't mind dying. I just don't want to die alone. I don't want to be reaching out for the clock radio and fall off the bed. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want that. So it's terrifying.
So let me, while we're there, have you thought about it?
Thought about what?
Like, since they told you had a year, how often do you think about like the idea of dying? Do you keep it in check? Do you put it in the back of your head? I mean, I know to be positive, you have to put it. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you do.
I put it to you like this, dog. It's like for me, I don't think about it constantly, but it creeps up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like when you're raising your kids, you don't want to think about all the bad stuff in the world when you're raising your kids.
Oh, man. Yeah.
You feel me? But sometimes it creeps up.
And I'm right now as a dad, I'm thinking about your mom.
Right, my mom?
Yeah, your mom's losing a son. If she passed, she loses her
child. She's the main one who like really told me to keep fighting. Like there were times like during the heavy chemo where I was like, man, fuck it, mom. I think I'm good. I lived a good life. I did a lot of shit. I think I'm good.
She's like, good life? You were in jail for 13 months.
She's like, nah, man. She's like, she's like, no mom wants to hear her son talk like that. So you got to fight. I was like, all right, man. All right. I mean, because chemo's a motherfucker, dog. Like, now my emotions are fucked up. Like, yeah. I'm fucked up emotionally because now anything with cancer or death makes mm-hmm. me weep.
Yeah.
Like, I watched Creed and was like, oh, shit. Man,
I thought you were going to say, like, you're ordering a coffee and they mess up at, like, put your soy milk, you just lose it.
I mean, sometimes I lose this shit. Like,
crying at Deadpool
bad,
post.
Bad customer service. Cry. Deadpool made me weep. I was like, this nigga got cancer and it's everywhere.
The name of
I watched Creed, Deadpool, all these motherfuckers getting cancer? It's in movies. That's how common it is now. It's in movies.
Yeah.
Oh, cancer is, I mean, unfortunately, it is.
It's common.
It's, I mean, I feel like it's like a cold. You hear people these days, it's like somebody's got a cold. It's like, holy shit, everybody's got fucking cancer.
I got a few bits on it, though. They're funny. I mean, I'm not going to talk about it during the special at all.
Yeah, don't burn. Oh, you're not during the special?
Nah.
You're not going to talk about your health at all?
Nah.
I like that idea.
It's not a cancer special. It's a special.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If it was a cancer special, if I had another one in the can like Tig did, then yeah, I would make a cancer special and be like, bring it, make it real, you know? But this is a special. This is my, I want a Patrice. I want an elephant. I want a Kurt Metzger. I want a White Precious. Of course. You know?
Like, and you gotta understand, Tig knew she was going to live. We have no idea what's going
to
happen.
We don't.
I'm teasing. That's supposed to, that, I guess it's not that funny, but I thought it was pretty funny.
No, it wasn't, but we don't know. I'm weeping now. Crab shackers?
Crab shackers. They're crab shackers, bro.
You,
I mean, at the end of the day, man, life is good, man. Like, I got...
I've heard you joke about it. I mean, before we started, what did you say about you feel the pressure about all the people making donating the money?
All these motherfuckers donating money. If I live too long, I feel like I gotta die. I gotta
this motherfucker right here.
Like, damn, this nigga dropped this. Any more success is happening?
Got now, 3 albums. Like,
out of this motherfucker.
Like, oh damn.
4 years it's been, man.
This nigga the Magic Johnson of comedy?
Seriously.
He's stronger? He's still hooping? He better not be hooping.
Man, you see him do those push-ups? Man. He's going 10 in. He's going 10 mil.
Way wide. And then back in.
Nah, man. It's for real. Like, there's that pressure because it's like, niggas is happy. Like, I feel like the people are behind me. So it's like, I feel like it's genuine support.
Well, look, it is genuine support. And you're putting that pressure. Don't put that pressure on yourself. There's everybody out there is just rooting for you. It's going to be good. You know, no one's going
to. I'm not worried about the special. I'm worried about the steps afterwards. Like, this has to set me up so I can eat for a year. You feel me? Like, I have to be doing full time comedy. Like, this, like, now I can't go back to barista. Like, I have to be ready to do that. Otherwise, like, my mom's always like, just pace yourself. I'm like, she don't get it.
Yeah.
You got to be warm when you're going into the hour. You can't be starting to stretch. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going on the road to Atlanta, Boston to fucking get warm. I've had all the stage time I can handle out here, you know?
Yeah.
I've done the hour in Seattle. I'm going down to Atlanta, get the Southeast version, Northeast version, back to the town, back to L.A., you know?
Yeah, man.
Shit's got to be ready, man. Shit's got to be tight because a lot of people, you always got your naysayers. A lot of people are rooting, but a lot of people are like, let's see what this nigga really going to talk about.
I mean, I'm not saying that. I just think there's a level of like, it's such a weird, not weird, but like an interesting situation that came together. It's special, man. It really is special.
It was amazing to me. The biggest thing was like,
as comedians in this town, all comedians do is wish like other people, like, I hope this guy, they see other people get stuff and you get jealous and envious. And here are all these people coming together to support you. You know, it's unique, man.
It's fucking great.
Just feel like I put it out there though.
Yeah,
you know I mean, like, I put out that support. I try and, you know, reach out to them.
But it's also a testament to who you are to people. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's when you realize what kind of friend, what kind of person you are is when friends like this step up for you, then you know you've been a good person. I mean,
that's not what Shady D said.
You know,
man.
But Shady D, but I was
Shady
what
D
I wanted
had
to
a
say.
Different perspective.
Those naysayers are the same motherfuckers that are trying to fight you to get you to stay in jail longer. They're the same on the outside. They just don't, it's just not a bunch of fences around us. Fuck those people.
I'm not tripping out those people. They ain't shit, man. I'm good. I'm hot right now.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? Like that's the thing. I gotta float on that. I gotta bop on that. Like, I'm hot right now. Like, I didn't know I was hot until I started getting some of the calls I've been getting. I was like, what? You guys heard about it?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. Cause they're like, you're in Splitsider. I was like, I don't read that shit. Like, you're in Reddit. I'm like, that's World Star Hip Hop for white people. I don't need that. You're like, no, you're on GQ. I was like, okay. The kid's
hold
hot.
On a second.
I'm hot right
hold
now.
On.
GQ? Yeah, okay, your boy got, I put the Q in GQ, your boy's that's here. Right.
And behind the scenes, Judd Apatow doing what he's doing too.
Yo, shout out to Judd Apatow. If he's listening, like, I appreciate everything that man has done.
And
I used to joke with him, I was like, I just need 5 speaking lines, man, so I could just get SAG insurance, bro. Like, that's all I need.
Yeah.
I get SAG insurance, I'm good. I'm Gucci. I can go to any doctor I want with SAG insurance. And let me just cast me.
Mm-hmm.
That way I get a credit. And I get
he's like, just slow down. Let me get you a doctor.
Yeah, let's
get you like, healthy. Here,
but no, real talk, he's been dope, man. Like, just like the support, I really feel like I put it out there. And for it to come back the way it did was just like, oh, shit. Like, when people were sharing stories and stuff I did, it's like, it's not, I didn't do none of that shit in the hopes that it would pay me back. I did it genuinely because I love people. I love comedy. When you locked up in a joint, you know what I'm saying? When you grow up broke, you know what I'm saying? Like when you grew up what I grew up, this is a blessing. I'm in LA doing comedy. I'm a popular comedian in a scene that's one of the best in the world. I got no complaints. It's 80 degree days in November.
Out of jail is a big fucking place to be.
But
look
but
what
I'm
you've
here,
done with
though.
It. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
You feel me? Like, I'm here.
Yeah.
Like, I remember your story. I remember making your Pandora station. I remember seeing your late night set. Like, I remember all these things. And it's like, man, I'm here. So for me, it's like, you goddamn right I'm happy to be at a motherfucking mic right now.
Yeah.
You feel me? I could be dead. I could be in jail. I could be married with kids. I could be doing all that shit. I'm here telling jokes, and I'm supposed to be upset at my life because I got cancer? Nah, dog. I'm good. I'm good.
Perspective, man.
So it's like, I mean, you got to keep it like that. There's someone who loved their problem. Like when I was in the hospital 45 days, people had to like so many visitors were coming that people were like, yo, you got to wait. You know what I'm saying? His room's full. He can't have any people. And I remember there were people in the hospital, like the nurses were like,
standing room only, man.
He's yo, sold out. Right
now. It's all
we
sold
did,
out.
We did an open mic in the hospital.
Did you really?
Yeah, we rent out. We had a little side room, had a little amp. Just, it was dope.
That's tight.
But it was like the love there was so overpowering. It was overbearing. It was like, man, I was just like, this is great.
Yeah.
Like the fact people came to visit, I knew it was hard for people because I looked bad, man.
Well, that's what I wanted to say. You know, I know you said you don't want to die alone, and I hope you live a healthy, long life.
Not
and,
too long, though, because we put some money in
well,
there.
Well, I want you to, yeah, you we know, did. Like, we did throw some money in. We'd like that bag if you make it over 65.
Over 65 refund.
We're going to be dead.
I didn't read that in the Kickstarter caveat. What is this?
Yeah, that's
in I have to pay back 35. I'm in debt.
But what this is love, and you are not alone. And that's what I wanted to say. Like, I, you know.
So don't forget it.
Your second album should, if you do end up living a long, healthy life, should be like, oops. That's what your second album should be called.
Oh, you, man, I wish I could tell you guys the title of the special. I'll tell you off.
Yeah, tell us all. Baby.
Oh, but it's dope.
Still alive?
Nah, it's better than that.
Okay. Well, I mean, it was pretty good.
Still alive?
Now that'll be album two or three. Album four should be still alive.
Album four.
Ain't dead yet.
Ain't dead yet. Sound like two short titles, don't they? Sound like it sound like two short album titles or old Master P covers.
Totally.
Like, still balling.
Well, this is, I tell you, this has been a lot of fun, man. I'm glad you came on. I'm glad you're here. I am. I'm glad you're brave enough to talk about this.
Got to, man.
Yeah, you do have to. So good for you.
Thank you guys
for
having me.
Oh, yeah. Kidding me?
Oh, yeah.
It was an honor.
Got a whole bunch of lingo he's going to tell his wife when he get home.
Yeah.
Like, he said, take it to the box.
Oh, babe, you better watch your mouth. I'm going to take it to the box.
He's like, hey, let's take a picture for
the gram. It's a whole different thing in my house.
That's a good special.
Hey,
that's a good special.
Hey, let's take a picture for the gram, baby.
Take it to the gram.
She's going to be, gram? What you talking about, gram?
Why don't you one more time, please, tell everyone where they can find you on social media. Tell them specifically where they can go to that GoFundMe.
If you'd like to donate money so I could pay rent, go to the GoFundMe. That's GoFundMe.com/Kwame Don't Play That. And then if you would like to donate to the special, the Kickstarter, you can do that. I don't know the Kickstarter, but you could just Google Quincy Jones Kickstarter.
Yeah.
That's my credit right now.
That's a good one, man.
That's a good ass one to have.
Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
First time I've ever meant that in every way possible.
Oh, man. Thank you, guys. Yeah, man.
And go check them out live. You're going to be on the road. I'm sure people can, if you're following on Twitter, they're going to be able to see you.
Nah, I have my Twitter account locked, but second fucking with you. I'm fucking with you.
Oh, okay.
No. I'm in Atlanta.
Website?
No, I don't have a website. Atlanta. Right. I just got hot. So now I got to get all that shit.
Yeah,
right.
I hear you.
But Atlanta, Boston. And I'm running the hour in L.A. next Monday.
Right on, man.
March 7th. So at Meltdown, if you guys want to come, 9 p.m. to 10. I got Rory opening for me.
Awesome, dude. Awesome.
Look at God work.
Great to have you, man. As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy on all social media.
Ryan Sickler on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Hey, you guys better follow me back on the real, though.
Listen, man, I try to keep my following down to a minimum. You know what I mean? I don't know how long you're even going to be there.
That was a good one. That was a dupe.
Thanks. I've had that locked and loaded.
That was good. That was good. I said we jump them after this.
We'll talk to y'all next Tuesday.